Philip, I have a question. How long have you been playing guitar?
How long?
How long have you been playing, singing?
60 years.
60 years. And I was going to say he's finally getting good at it. If you've got your Bibles, turn them over to Hebrews chapter 11. That whole chapter is, again, that heroes of the faith passage. And today we've been talking about my hope, and we started talking about that. And so we're going to continue that. Today we're talking about our heritage of hope. Herschel Hobbes said this. He said, on the last day of the year, a celebration is held throughout the land. Beginning at the stroke of midnight in Times Square in New York City, the multitudes cheer, horns sound, whistles blow, people laugh and cry for joy. Amidst the celebration are shouts of Happy New Year! The spectacle is repeated in succession in various time zones, from the Atlantic seaboard to the western reaches of Hawaii. We say a new year has come. For us, a new year symbolizes new opportunities, new hopes, new dreams. And yet the stroke of the hour simply has marked the dawning of another day. Whether the year really will be new lies within each person. If, when the shouting is over, we fall back into the same old rut and sin and rebellion against God, then nothing has changed. No, years are only become new as we make them so. Resolutions for new days, new beginnings, opportunities, and dreams are not to be made only in the excitement of the moment, but long after the glamour is gone, these resolutions are to become the order of each day. Every new year, and I know it's not New Year's, but every new year you can see it, people have new hope. What do people always resolve to do at the beginning of the new year? Lose weight, right. Good. I'm glad you said that because I was going to be lost if you didn't. Everybody resolves to lose weight. Now, for those of you who want to know, I weighed myself. I lost 3 pounds this week. So I've now lost 30 pounds. Well, thank you. Thank you. I'm sorry. How? What? I lost 17 pounds from May until about a month ago, and I've lost 13 pounds in about a month. So, and it's on purpose, by the way. So, you know, I'm not sick or anything. But one of the things that happens at New Year's, and I've done this before, and you may have too, but you all know we have a new gym in town? Anytime Fitness? So I've been going to work out at Anytime Fitness, and I'll tell you what's going to happen. And what I will probably do in January, I will avoid the gym in January. Do you know what happens in January? Everybody shows up at the gym. And you know what happens in February? They're all gone. They're all gone. Because they start with that hope at the beginning of the year. You know, I'm going to stick with it. I hope I lose a lot of weight. I hope I gain some muscle. I hope whatever, whatever, whatever. And then about halfway through January, you get the stiff muscles and you've been working out a little bit. And you realize that in order to achieve your hope, it takes a lot of hard work. And sometimes we forget that hope has to be paid for. Now, we're talking about our heritage of hope today. We're talking about the things that God has already done, that He has passed on to us, our heritage of hope. A few weeks ago, I talked about my hope, about how God has been my hope and how He's made a difference in my life. We talked about the need for hope in a hurting world. Last week, Tony talked about our hope in God's Word and how we can trust the Word of God. And today we're going to look at our heritage of hope. Now, I will tell you, you know, I've prepared a lot of sermons. I've been here almost 10 years. You know, it'll be 10 years next September, which just amazes me. That's cool. Thank you for hanging on to me for this long. I appreciate it. But I realize I preach generally twice a week, you know, and over 10 years, that's a lot of sermons. You know, that's about 100 sermons a year at least, you know, times 10 years. That's 1,000 sermons. Y'all ain't tired of me yet? Thanks. At least most of you aren't. I hope you're not. But that's a lot of sermons. And I will tell you, sometimes I have to wrestle with sermons. Tony, where's Tony? Where'd you go, buddy? Do you ever have to wrestle with a sermon? I hate it when they pin you, but those are usually the best sermons. And this sermon, I got to tell you, this sermon pinned me. I had to fight and fight and fight, and I couldn't figure out an outline. You know I like alliteration. You all know what alliteration, you know, you start with A, you know. This is all good, it's all great, and it's all fantastic. That's, you know. But I couldn't do it this week. It just didn't come. So now we're doing something different. We're doing an acrostic. So we have hope. H-O-P-E, okay? Let me give you the outline, and then we'll talk about it a little bit. Hope. First of all, we need to honor the heroes of hope. The heroes of the faith, the people who have gone before. We need to honor those heroes of hope. We need to open ourselves up to the power of hope, because hope changes lives when it's real hope. You know, real hope, honestly, in January, when all those people show up at the gym, that's a real hope that their lives can change. But they forget there's a price to be paid for hope, and I'll get into that later. But we need to open ourselves up to the power of hope, because if we really believe, if we really have that hope, it changes our lives. P, we need to pass on the message of hope. Because hope isn't just for us. The hope that we have in Christ is not just for us. It's something we need to give away. It's something we need to share. It's something we need to allow other people to see. And then E, we need to enjoy the benefits of hope. Because there are benefits. There's a blessing here. For example, verse 6 in Hebrews 11 says, "Without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists, and that He what? He rewards those who earnestly seek Him." See, there's a reward for hope. So let's start with first honoring the heroes of hope. Hebrews 12:1, which is the next chapter over, it says this, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses," he's talking about those heroes of the hope that he's already, and he didn't list all of them, he even says at one point, he said, "And there's so many others, I don't have time to list them." And then he starts to list a few more of them. You know, but we all have heroes of the hope, and not all of them show up in the Bible. Not all of them show up in the Bible. Let me tell you a couple of my heroes of hope and heroes of faith. One of them was my grandfather, my mom's dad. He died several years back, and I got to tell you, I love my grandfather, but as he got older, he got a little bit, what's a good word? Is crotchety a good word? Cantankerous? Yeah, he got a little prickly sometimes. But one of the things that I remember most fondly about my grandfather is that his faith and his life in the church were very real to him. And he passed that on to me. Now, I didn't become a believer until I was 17 years old. I never really attended his church. But I saw him live it out. I saw him pull out his Bible. I heard him read those stories to me. I heard him pray over Thanksgiving dinner. And sometimes at Thanksgiving dinner, honestly, I would say, "Would you ever stop praying?" Because it was like that was the one time a year he got the whole family together and he could preach at him, and he preached through the prayer, brother. You know, and there was a big family. He had three girls and they had a bunch of kids, and I think sometimes I feel like he prayed for every one of us by name for 5 minutes each. So I never got warm turkey till I got married. No, I'm just kidding. But I remember thinking, you know, about those prayers, and now I'm probably that guy when we get to Thanksgiving who prays a little longer than I should and probably preaches a little longer than I should. I'm sorry, you just have to deal with that. But he's one of mine. Another one is a friend of mine. Now my grandfather passed away, but another one of my heroes of faith is a fellow named Chris Crossan. He's visited us here. When I was out in California, the first church I can really say I was a member of and really involved in was a church called the Church on Red Hill. It was in Tustin, California. It used to be First Baptist Church of Tustin. And his name was Chris Crossan. And he's the first guy who really discipled me, who really took me under his wing in a one-on-one kind of way and lived out his faith on a regular basis through his daughter getting leukemia, through becoming a missionary first in Germany and then in Turkey, through working in terrible situations. And now he's had to fight with cancer in his own life and has lost a leg and just remains a faithful friend and a wonderful example of faith and hope. And I know, I just want you all, do me a favor, everybody close your eyes for just a minute. Just close your eyes for a minute. And I want you to think of somebody, some hero of your faith, some hero who offered you hope. And I just want you to take a minute, and you don't have to do it out loud, you can if you want to, but just take a moment and say, "Thank you, Lord, for sending me a hero of the faith of my very own who could offer me that moment that time, that investment in my life. Thank you. Okay, you can look up now. I hope you had a lot of people pop into your mind. About 30, 40 years ago, the country of Uganda was in an uproar. And this was when Idi Amin was first coming to power and there was civil war. And a widely circulated question from a British Missionary Society to one of its congregations in Uganda asked, what can we send you people? You're being persecuted. Your archbishop has been martyred. What can we send you? And the reply was this. The reply came back, not food, not medicine, but 250 clerical collars. The letter went on and said, you must understand, when our people are being rounded up to be shot, they must be able to see their priests. Now that's a hero of hope. You understand, he's not saying the priest is standing over here and the people are being shot over there. He's saying that the pastor is standing with them as the people in front of them are raising the guns. Now, not every hero of the faith is a martyr, but every hero of the faith takes a stand. And whether it's wearing a clerical collar or a cross around our neck, I don't think it's the garb we wear. I think it's the attitude and heart with which we share. And I pray that you and I, that our church has a habit of developing heroes of the faith through Sunday school, through discipleship, through the preaching of the word, through giving people opportunities to serve, that we grow up some heroes of the faith here, whether they're the little children or the young men and women who have joined our church and who are part of us now, or whether it's perhaps one of the older folks who's never really understood that they can stand up for the faith. So we need to honor those heroes of hope. We need to celebrate them. If you know, some of those people, when you closed your eyes, if they're alive, give them a call. Send them a card. Send them a letter and say, thank you for being faithful. Thank you for being one of my heroes of hope. Number two, open us up. We need to be open to the power of hope. The power of hope. See, if you look at that hope, hope enabled Abel to offer a good offering. Hope enabled Enoch to see God and walk with God and be taken directly to heaven. Hope gave Abraham the strength to leave his home. Hope gives us power to do things we wouldn't otherwise be able to do. Romans 15:13 says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by what? By the power of the Holy Spirit. When we let hope indwell us, then the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon us. Did you know that every known civilization has some version of the flood? They have some version of an understanding of a flood narrative. Whether it's the Mayans or the Incans or whether it's some other civilization, they all have that story. And it persists because it has that profound moral and spiritual implication. It has apparently convinced mankind that destruction, darkness, and thunder do not speak God's last words. One fellow named Joseph Sizu, which is an odd name, he said this. He said, floods are affairs of earth, but the rainbow is God's banner of hope. You know what? We all face floods from time to time. Maybe not. Some of you probably face that kind of real flood, you know. Some of us have faced tornadoes, but others, we face all kinds of floods in our lives, right? Disasters that come when the boss calls you in and hands you a pink piece of paper and you know that that's your last day. I mean, I'm telling you, that's a flood. Or when you get a call from the school that your kid's gotten in trouble and that can be a flood. Or when you go to the doctor and the doctor says you're going to the hospital today and that's a flood. And sometimes the floods come upon us, and what we need in those moments is perspective, and we need a hope that only God can give us. And that's what God offers us. Hebrews 6:11, again staying in Hebrews, says, we want each of you to show the same diligence to the very end. He wants him to be faithful to the very end in order to make your hope sure. See, we have a sure and certain hope. The world often talks about hope as a sometime thing, as a perhaps thing, as a maybe thing. Like, I hope I'm going to lose some more weight. Well, that's a maybe thing, and it depends on a lot of things. Here's what I got to tell you. I hope in the Lord Jesus Christ And that's not a sometime thing. That's not a maybe thing, because it's not dependent upon what I do. It's dependent upon what He's done, and He has done it all. And that's the power of hope. And that's what we need to be opened up to, is not that we can do everything, but that God can do everything in us through Christ. And that when we share the gospel, or when we do a mission project, or when we're raising our family, it's not that we are raising a good family, it's that God is working in and through us, and He will bring our family up. And all we have to do is to be faithful along the way. Some of you may have heard of the name Matt Chandler. Matt Chandler's a pastor. A few years ago, he found out he had cancer. And I was watching a video interview with him and his wife. And the doctor basically told him he had maybe 6 months to live. And he's lived well past that, and God has done a wonderful miracle. But he puts it in perspective. He said, you know, until that moment, until I sat there and really had to deal with my mortality, and until I realized that this isn't something that I could fix, there's nothing I could do about it. He said, until that thought, that point, I thought, if I raised my kids right, then I would be responsible for them coming to Christ. And they would become Christians because I'm a good dad. And he said, then he realized, his kids aren't going to become Christians because he's a good dad. They're going to become Christians because God is a good God. And God is faithful. And that if his kids choose to follow Christ, they're going to follow Christ because Christ has done a work in Matt Chandler, or Christ has done a work in other pastors and other people who have shown them the way. That's the power of hope. It changes lives. It changes hearts. It changes destinies. Next, P. We want to pass on the message of hope. 2 Timothy 2:2 says this, "The things you have heard from me, say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust them to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others." You know, when we do the Lord's Supper, do you know what that says? 1 Corinthians 11:23, it says, "What I received from the Lord, I also passed on to you." See, we're supposed to pass on what we learn. We're supposed to pass on. Abel offered the great sacrifice, and we still remember his name. Enoch was taken up by the Lord. Abram passed on his faith to his children, and we are responsible for doing that. There's all kinds of passages. You can flip over to Deuteronomy, and you find passages like this. Deuteronomy 4, verse 9, "Only be careful and watch yourselves closely, so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen, and let them slip from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them." We're supposed to pass along the message. We are supposed to be messengers of hope in an often hopeless and hurting world. When the Bible says, "You will be my witnesses," what are we witnesses of? We're witnesses of the resurrection. We're witnesses of the power of Christ in our lives. We're witnesses of all that God has done in us and through us and for us. And we're supposed to be telling that story over and over and over again. There's a great book out there. It's called Endurance. It's about a fellow named Shackleton, Ernest Shackleton. And Ernest Shackleton was an Antarctic explorer about 100 years ago, a little more than 100 years ago now. And he was one of those people, you know, you heard of Admiral Peary and different people who tried to explore the North Pole and the South Pole. He was one of the guys who was working on the South Pole. And they had a terrible tragedy down there. Their boat got trapped, and they got trapped, and they had to try and hike out. And at one point, let me read you this passage. "Well, on one of his expeditions to the Antarctic, Sir Ernest Shackleton was compelled to leave some of his men on Elephant Island with the intention of returning to them and carrying them back to England. He was unavoidably delayed, and by the time he could go for them, he found to his dismay that the sea had frozen over and his men were cut off. 3 times he tried to reach them." Understand, 3 times was not 3 times in one day. It was 3 times in 1 year, and it had been years since he had been there. 3 times he tried to reach them, but his efforts ended in failure. Finally, in his last effort, before he knew the ice would come and fill it up again, he found a narrow channel through the ice. Guiding his small ship back to the island, he was delighted to find his men not only alive and well, but all prepared to get aboard. They were soon on their way to safety and home, and after the excitement ended, Sir Ernest inquired how it was that they were ready to get aboard so promptly. They told him that every morning their leader rolled up his sleeping bag, saying, "Get your things ready, boys. The boss may come today." The return of the Lord Jesus to this earth is much more certain than Shackleton's return to Elephant Island. Jesus' promise to us to return to claim His redeemed is established in His Word and established in the character of God. And it is the blessed hope with which we all live. We have a message of hope that will not ever fail. It will not fail you. It will not fail me. It will not fail anyone who has ever bent their knee and said, I believe in Jesus Christ and I ask Him to forgive my sins and come into my life and cleanse me and to give me new life. And we become a new creation and God will redeem His new creation. And by grace we have that promise. So pass on that message of hope. Next week we're going to talk more about that as we share a little bit about missions. Because missions isn't just what we do in Haiti or in North Dakota or South Dakota. It's also what we do in our block party or what we do in Vacation Bible School. And finally, enjoy the benefits of hope. I already read the passage at the end of our reading, but let me read to you 2 Corinthians 3, verse 12. Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. I like that. Don't you like that? Because we have such a hope, we're very bold. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. We have that hope in us because God is all that He is. That's Titus 2:13. While we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. That's what we're waiting for. Do you ever get up in the morning? I've been blessed. We've got a dog. And the dog likes to go for a walk every morning. So every morning I take her out and walk her. And some mornings, I don't know about you, but some sunrises are really glorious. Some sunsets are glorious too. But some sunrises, you know, the sun's rising behind the clouds. And you can literally see the sunlight streaming out from the clouds. And every once in a while I'm walking down there and I'm walking the dog. And part of me says, Lord, now would be a good time to blow the trumpet. Right? Now would be a good time to blow the trumpet. And one day you will. And the dead in Christ will rise first, and we who remain will be caught up together with Him to meet the Lord in the sky. And this is our hope. And that's one of the benefits of hope. Let me read you another passage. This is from Douglas MacArthur. You all heard of him, I hope. Douglas MacArthur was a general of the armies in the Pacific during World War II. He said this, nobody grows old by merely living a number of years. People grow old only by deserting their ideals. Years may wrinkle the skin, but to give up interest wrinkles the soul. Worry, doubt, self-distrust, fear, and despair, these are the long, long years that bow the head and turn the growing spirit back to dust. Whatever your years, there is in every being's heart the love of wonder, the undaunted challenge of events, the unfailing childlike appetite for what next, and the joy and the game of life. You are as young as your faith, as old as your doubt, as young as your self-confidence and as old as your fear, as young as your hope and as old as your despair. One of the benefits of hope is that it fights off fear and it fights off despair and it gives us courage to face the day. This week as we celebrate Thanksgiving, this week as we look ahead to giving thanks, I hope that you will look forward and that you will enjoy the blessings of hope. That you will receive those blessings and that you'll share them with others. I hope you'll pass on the message of hope. I hope you'll open yourself up to the power of hope in your life. I hope that you will become one of those heroes of faith and hope for others. Let's pray together. Father, we gather here together as different people, men and women, boys and girls from different backgrounds, from different places. Some of us grew up here in Spencer County. Some of us grew up far away. Some of us have big families. Some of us have small families. Some of us have money in our pockets. Some of us are wondering where the next dollar is coming from. Some of us have kids. Some of us, our kids are grown. Some of us are wondering when we'll have kids. Some are even wondering why we don't have kids. Lord, some of us are hurting and some of us are needy and some of us are struggling. And all of our stories are a little bit different. Made different by our family, made different by our background, made different by the circumstances we find ourselves in now. But Lord, we all share in one story if we have placed our faith and trust in You. And that's the story of hope that comes in Christ Jesus. That's a story that says death and hell and the grave, that despair and fear and sorrow, that heartache and hopelessness are defeated by the power of God Almighty. And Lord, we come to You today earnestly desiring that that hope would live and flame to fire within us, that we might be a people who hold hope dear, who pass hope on to others, who live in the power of Your hope. Lord, today, even among us right now, there may be someone who has no hope because they haven't trusted You. And Lord, I pray that today would be the day of salvation, that hope would spring to life in their lives, that today they would recognize You, Lord Jesus, for who You are, the Savior of the world, the One who loved them so much, the One who offers hope freely, without strings attached, if we will simply come and hand our lives to Him and be redeemed. So, Lord, we pray today that hope would spring up in us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand as we sing an invitation hymn? If God is working in your heart, in your life, if you have a decision that you need to make, this is your opportunity to come and share that with us. If you haven't trusted Christ and would like to trust Christ, this is your opportunity to do that, to ask Jesus into your life. If perhaps you just need to kneel at the altar and say, Lord, I've lost some hope and I want to get it back, please come and pray. The altar is open. You come as we sing.
Page 139.